Well, you guys, so excited to jump into God's Word together today. We're in part three of our series called Summer Playlists, and today I want to talk to you about three relationships that everybody needs in their life. They need to work on, they need to develop, they need to be intentional with. And so today, going to apply this specifically to fathers, since it's Father's Day. Also want to acknowledge Juneteenth today, but we're going to look today at those relationships. And, you know, this afternoon, it'll be an interesting time because I will be grilling. I'm very excited about that. I love to grill. Maybe you do too. I don't know. Maybe some of you are like, I hate grilling. Well, hey, this analogy may not work great for you, but it will work great for those of us that love to grill or those who like to eat food off of a grill. Maybe that's you if you don't like to grill. But when you grill, you need a couple things. You need a lot of things. But to have fire on the grill, you actually need a spark. You need fuel, and you need air. So you need like a spark, like the igniter on the grill or a lighter on the grill. So you need actually a spark. You need air coming into that grill, and then you need fuel. You need a propane tank, or you need charcoal to hold that energy or whatever that might be. But so those are the things that you need. You need fuel, you need air, and you need a spark. And without all three of those things working together, you don't get heat. And without heat, you do not get good barbecue food. Now, in order to get the good food, you're going to need all three of those things. And in a similar way, today I wanted to talk about how if we're going to have good lives and we're going to have healthy lives, we're actually going to need at least three relationships. And they're going to need to all work together. And if we don't have those three relationships working together in conjunction, it's going to be real difficult to have good food or a good life, if you follow the analogy. So again, today I want to talk about those three relationships. I'm going to just give them to you. I'm just going to give them to you off the bat. And then you, if you're a note taker, that'll make it real easy. And then you can take notes. How's that sound? So I'll give you the three. And these are important to understand whether you are a father. If you're a parent, you need to understand these. If you have parents, you need to understand these. You're either going to need this now or maybe you'll need it in the future. Again, if you maybe your parents have passed away and maybe Father's Day is a hard day for you, you still can use these three relationships in your life right where you are right now. So I'm going to give them to you. Number one is a personal relationship with God. So again, we're talking about the three things that you need, right, for a fire, for food, for good food, three relationships that you need for a good life. Number one is you need a relationship with God. Number two is you need intentional discipleship with your family unit. And that could be a nuclear family unit. That could be a roommate that you live with. It could be, who knows what it is, but it is your family unit. And then number three is you need communal responsibility with a community of believers, which in the Bible is called the church, an ecclesia. And so we need a relationship with God. We need a relationship with our family. We need discipleship with our family. And then we need a responsible communal relationship with a community of believers with our church. Number one, personal relationship with God. I wanted to read this in Deuteronomy 6:56. It says this, says, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." He's like, look, this is really, really important. In John 17:3, it says, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent." So the first relationship we need in our life, if we're going to have a healthy life, if we're going to have a good life, just like eating good food, we're going to need a relationship with God. It is the most important thing. We're supposed to love God with everything that we have. And it is today to be on our hearts, our relationship with God. And if we don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, as a father, talking about fathers today, how can we expect our kids to do that? And if you are a dad today and you have kids, I want you to stop and think about that our kids do what we do, not what we say. We can tell them what to do, but it's actually what we do that they actually replicate. And so I wanted to ask you the question, if you're a dad in here today, and again, this works for if you're a mom or if you're a mentor of any kind, but what does your relationship with God look like? And I mean specifically, like right down to brass tacks, like when do you read your Bible? Like, how do you read your Bible? Because your kids are watching you, right? And we shouldn't read our Bibles as dads just because our kids are watching us. We should read our Bibles because we're in love with God and we want to learn about who He is. But we need to understand that if we're not doing that in a visible way for our children, they're not learning that from us. So do you read your Bible daily? What does your prayer time look like? What does your prayer life look like? When do you listen for God's voice? I wrote down in my notes, is church important to you? And we'll get to that in a minute too, in the third relationship. But these things are very important. How do you talk to your spouse? How do you talk to your kids? Is it Christ-like in the way that you carry yourself and your demeanor toward them? Do you have patience? Is it the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And here's the thing. Look, none of us are perfect. I'm a messed up person. Like, you're probably a messed up person, okay? But that's actually even more the point, right? It's those moments when we don't get it right that we go to our kids and we say, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't get that right. This is what God calls us to. This is what we're aiming for. This is what the kind of people we want to be. Are you modeling that for your kids? So again, our children don't do what we say, they do what we do. So we have to do what we want our children to have. And again, this is true for parents. This is true for anybody really. But the first relationship is we need a relationship with God. And it's really interesting that that a relationship with God is a beautiful thing because, how do I want to say, you can't give out what you don't have. I mean, I just kind of talked about that a little bit, but you can't give out something that you don't have. If you were a sponge and you had water in you as a sponge, you could squeeze and give water out. But if you're a sponge and you're dry and you don't have any water and someone needs water, you can't give it to them. You can't give anything that you don't have. So what we need to do first, right, is in our first relationship in life, we're going to have a healthy life, is we need to actually have a relationship with God, and we need to be drawing off of Him. And what I love about having a relationship with God is we don't have to be perfect, and we don't have to be the one who always gets it right. We just need to be the one to go to God and say, I need your help today. I'm not self-dependent. I need you, God. And I know for me, some days that looks like literally getting out of bed and flopping on the floor and just saying, God, I need you today. And you know what? He's good for that. I was reminded as I was preparing of a video that I watched years ago. It was from the Barcelona Olympics in 1992. It was the semifinals of the 400. And there was a guy named Derek Redmond who was one of the favorites to medal in the 400. So he was running a semifinal race and kind of he had to finish in the top few to get on to the final. And as he was running around the back stretch, his hamstring popped. I've seen him in interviews say that he initially thought he was actually shot while he was running because there was a pop and there was pain in the back of his leg. But his hamstring snapped and he laid on the track. The rest of the field pretty much finished. And then he got up. And as people were expecting him to get off the track, he began hopping along the track to try to finish the race. And something interesting happened is that Derek Redmond's father actually fought his way down out of the stands onto the track, which if you know anything about security and Olympics and whatever, is not supposed to be able to happen. And he got down onto the track and he came up behind Derek Redmond, who didn't know that his father was on the track. Of course, he wouldn't think that. He thought it was someone trying to get him off the track. So initially he brushed away, but then he realized it was his dad. He fell into his dad's shoulder, began crying, just overwhelmed with emotion. And then his dad came up under his arm and helped him finish the race. And I always thought it was such a beautiful picture, an analogy of our relationship with God, because we go through life and we have things that set us back. We have things that we just, they're like blown hamstrings in the time where we're trying to run this race and we're expected to finish and medal, and such a defeat, such a death of a dream. There's so much emotion to that. And yet, as he's hopping along the track, his father comes and embraces him. There's an emotional exchange, then his father helps him to the finish line. And I love that picture of our relationship with God. And I love that God reveals himself to us as a father. And that's what I love about a relationship with God, is God isn't a God who's out there somewhere demanding something of us. He's a God who comes close and near and actually embraces us and helps us. And you know, the image that God chooses to use of himself in the Bible is actually Father. And this is really fascinating and really mind-blowing if you stop to think about it for more than just a few seconds. But Luke 11, Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray. And Jesus says this, it says, one day his disciples came to Jesus while he was praying in a certain place. When Jesus had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Verse 2, Jesus said to them, when you pray, say this, Father in heaven. This is really interesting because Jesus's concept of God was that he was a father. Now, this is, again, fascinating because if you think about the succession in the Bible of the revelation of God, God's a creator. So he's an all-powerful force that's before creation and after creation. He's the Alpha and the Omega, but he's a creative force that sits outside of time and space. And we can kind of start to kind of wrap our heads around that. But a lot of people, they stop in the revelation of God there. They're like, oh, the man upstairs, there's this like life force, we call it God. He's this thing that sits outside of time and space, bigger than all of us. And then when we die, we kind of absorb back into the abstraction. There's God the creator. Well, God is a creator, and he's revealed in the Bible as a creator. But then there's this next step of succession where God is not just a creator, but God is a master. He's actually relational, because a master is relational. You begin to have a relationship, and it's someone who's in control, and it's someone who's actually providing for you, and then it's someone who's asking something of you. And all through the Old Testament, we see God as a master. We see God as not only a creator, but we see him relating with his people. We see him as a personal God. But then there's another step of revelation in the Bible where we see God as Savior. That God doesn't just, as a master, demand something of us, but but he's actually providing something for us. And that through the person of Jesus Christ, God is actually revealed to us as a Savior, one who comes to meet our need, one who comes to pay for our sin. And that's an amazing revelation, but it doesn't stop there, because as the Bible continues, God is revealed as a friend. He's revealed as someone who likes us, who actually is near us and with us. Not only did he save us and provide for us, but he actually cares for us, and he has this relationship with us, which, by the way, if you track back through the history of the Bible, you see that friendship all the way back in the book of Genesis, where God walks and talks with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. But I digress, that there's still this continuation of revelation through the scripture, and then friend, but then it doesn't stop there, and the Bible takes another step where God is revealed as a father. One who is like a creator, because a father is a creator. A father can be a master, someone who provides and also requires. A father can be a savior, one who meets needs and provides for. A father can be a friend who's relational and really cares. But then a father is a father, one who would give his life for someone, one who loves their children. And father, to me, is the most intimate revelatory thing in the Bible, that God is actually our father. Dutch Sheets says it this way, kind of paraphrasing Jesus: God would prefer you call him dad. And I just think that's such an amazing revelation. And you know, it's really the primary context in prayer in the Bible, in the New Testament. Again, when Jesus is asked how to pray, he says, pray like this: Father in heaven. Start out with this concept that prayer is a relational thing that you do with God. It's a communicative process that's personal and intimate. He's a father. He cares about you. And our Father who is in heaven, our Father. And did you know that over 165 times in the New Testament, God is named or revealed to people as a father? And I just think that that is so revolutionary, to have that progression. And we need to understand that in the first relationship of our life, our relationship with God, the Father. The second relationship that we need, if we're going to be cooking with gas here, you guys, and getting a good life, is the second one, is that we need to intentionally have discipleship relationships with our family. And again, family can take on various forms. I do believe that God's primary methodology for family is what we might call a nuclear family, is a man and a woman together. The Bible says in the book of Genesis that a man shall leave his mother and his father and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And we understand historically, and in Orthodox Christianity, and I don't mean Orthodox by way of denomination, I mean Orthodox by way of tradition, traditionally in Christianity, that nuclear unit is so important in the scripture, because it's actually the container, the mechanism by which God actually raises up the next generation. And we see that in Deuteronomy 6:59. It says, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Look at this. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So there's this idea that we need a relationship with God, and then there's this idea that we need familial relationships. And whether you're watching this today and you're under the age of 18, and our society would say you're a minor, and you're learning these things, or whether you have children, or whether you are maybe a young adult, maybe there's people around you that you're mentoring, whatever it might look like, but we have a familial responsibility as Christians. And that familial responsibility, it's about intentionally mentoring one another. And we need to do that. And there's three specific things I want to give you about how we can do that. There's probably a lot more to talk about, but just for our conversation today and looking into God's word, it's proximity, time, and intentionality. Proximity, time, and intentionality. And we want to do that as we disciple our children. Again, today is Father's Day and talking about dads. And again, it goes and it expands beyond that. But proximity, we want to just literally be around each other. So families exist in close quarters with each other, at least typically, and usually in the same house. And again, it's one of the reasons why the nuclear family is so important in the scripture. Proximity, to be around each other. But even if you don't have that nuclear family intact any longer, you still can create avenues and mediums and channels and ways in which there can be proximity. The next one is time. Families have time together. You know, something that we try to do as a family is eat meals together at our home. But time, just making time for each other. And that's something that that's really, really important. I remember years ago, I heard Pastor Mark Batterson talk, and he's got something that he calls he doesn't call it a bucket list. I think he calls it a life's goals list, but it would be what our culture would call a bucket list. And he said that he had a lot of personal goals that were on that list, but he said that he learned something as he was going through this, that whatever activity he wanted to do, it would be better if he did it with someone that he loves. And so he actually, you know, if his goal was to go hand gliding over a certain valley in South America, he said, I want to go hand gliding over X, whatever the name of it, valley is, with someone I love, or with, and then he would name one of his children, or with his wife, or whatever it might be. And again, in your scenario, it might be with a good friend. But whatever it might be is that you actually do activities with the ones that you love. And I thought that was so cool. And I just wanted to pause for a moment because I happen to have the mic for just a second and just give a shout out to my son, Braylon. He actually ran his first 10K this morning. So really, really cool. If you are watching this online, you're probably not watching this live on our Sunday morning. You are watching this version of this. This is recorded on Saturday night this week. So you'll watch this in a couple hours here. But he ran it this morning on a Saturday morning, and we were actually able to do that together. So here's the thing. If you have been listening to me for very long, you know that I love to run. But what's even better than me going out and running is actually running with my son, because time together matters. And then I wanted to say the third thing is intentionality. And this is kind of a tricky one, because we can be in close quarters, we can be in proximity, we can actually even be spending a lot of time together, but we can be like on our phones. And I mean, that's specific, I know, but you know, we can have five people. I love going out like to dinner, and there's like a table of like five, six, whatever people, and they're all just literally on their phones. And it's, I get it. You know, I could do that too. I'm just saying, like, sometimes it just feels like we're living a little bit of an alternate reality and universe. There's an intentionality, I think, of putting down our devices. There's an intentionality of actually asking questions and then actually listening for the answers, instead of just, listening to give a response or for a follow-up question that you already have in your mind. And so if you're going to be a good father, if you're going to be a good mentor, if you're going to be a good friend, if you're going to be in familial relationships, we have to understand that there's going to be proximity, time, and intentionality that's required of us. And I want to add this last thing, that it actually doesn't always yield results right away. That as someone who's investing in other people, we need to understand that there is a lack of immediacy in results. And I wanted to read you a long quote here. It's actually about fatherhood, but again, it can apply to anybody today. But I want to read this to our fathers. And again, it's rather lengthy, but I want to read to you. It says this. It says, if you're going to be a good father, you must break your addiction to the immediate. An addiction to the immediate is one of the curses of our age. We've been severed from the process of sowing and reaping, seasons and struggle that other generations took for granted. We tend to think things can be created quickly, fixed quickly, and developed quickly. If you're going to be a good father, it will require patience. One of the greatest challenges of being a dad is the lack of immediate feedback and fruit, other than complaints and the occasional kind word on Father's Day. we receive in this noble role. So I'll read that sentence again. One of the greatest challenges of being a dad is the lack of immediate feedback and fruit we receive in this noble role. It can be discouraging to love and serve and labor and give while the days seem to roll by without a visible sense of progress. There are even times when the intentional effort seems to result in negative progress as kids deal with their issues in their own lives that move in the opposite direction of what we've been trying to lead them. One of the things that can help with this is to change our vision of fatherhood. For a man, it only takes minutes to contribute to the creation of a child, but to raise them will take decades and even longer. The ultimate image of a father in our modern world is a young dad with a newborn throwing him up in the air while the child squeals with delight. I have plenty of pictures of my own children just like that, but it represents the start of the journey of fatherhood, not the conclusion. Jeremy Pryor says the true image of a father is an old man, a grandfather, and his grandchildren at his feet. It's a vision of multi-generational impact, one that requires the patience of a farmer, the long game of compounding parenting, yet a determination to plant those seeds today. The kingdom of God comes in seed form, not realized form. It's the slow daily death of self, words of kindness, observation and attention, loving confrontation, and a commitment to be present over the years. And then the quote ends with this. It says, sow seeds of encouragement instead of criticism. Sow seeds of attention. Put down the phone. Sow seeds of morality. Model integrity in the small things. Sow seeds of discipline. Let your kids see you restrain yourself. Sow seeds of courage. Confront things that they know you hate. Sow seeds of servanthood. Do the overlooked stuff without fanfare. Sow seeds of a godly marriage. Be affectionate with your wife in front of your kids. So I have a question. Are we being intentional with the time and the proximity that we have? And that intentionality includes the idea of abandoning the need and requirement for immediate results. Because if we do this work right, it's a long game. I'll end point two with just these quick thoughts as the scripture that I read, four ways that we can be intentional with time and proximity and where we can make investment for the long term. And this is right out of the scripture that I read you, but it's that you talk when you sit at home. You talk when you walk along the road. You talk when you lie down, and you talk when you get up. And of course, the scripture is talking about the Bible, that we share scriptures with our children. But I think it's interesting because it's when you sit at home. So yeah, we like to watch TV, but also when we sit at home, it's the place where we turn off the technology and we play in the backyard. We go for a walk. Maybe we go for a drive. Maybe we play tag. Maybe we wrestle. But we are at home when we sit at home. The next one is when we walk along the road. For many of us, that's not walking anymore. That's now being in a car. How can we be intentional in our time in the car? You know, I remember when my kids were little, I would give them rides to school all the time. And on the way to school, we would actually do daily devotions in the morning. Now we all do our devotions when we wake up in the morning at the house. But sometimes when I'm taking them to school, we'll play music and we'll drum or we'll sing or we'll laugh or we'll tell jokes or sometimes we'll watch comedians. Sometimes we'll just talk about how our days are, what's coming up for the day, whatever it might be. But we're intentional to spend time together along the road. When you lie down, bedtime is an important time to build intimacy together. And bedtime is special. It's the wind down of the day. It's the recap of the day's events. It's praying, sometimes reading the Bible, maybe a word of encouragement or affirmation. It's praying over our children. And then when you get up, and when you get up in the morning, what does the morning look like? How intentional is the time and proximity in the morning? And that's really become a key for us as the Hayes family in the mornings. And it's something that we continue to try to cultivate. But we have worked really hard on cultivating that time with the Lord in the morning. And that's something that we've been passing down on to our children. So a question for you as I move to point three is, what is the number one spiritual rhythm that you're going to start and recommit to today? And I want to ask you that. And then I want you to be intentional with that if you have kids, and if you don't, maybe with your friends. Number three, if we're going to have three relationships, right? Number one, relationship with God. Number two, relationship with the family. And then number three is a communal responsibility with our church. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Let me just say it like this real point blank. Like, we need each other. We need each other. And today, more than ever before, you guys, we need each other. And the church needs one another. And you know, this is true whether you are a dad or a mom and you have children. Do you know your children need other adults in their life? Statistically, scientifically, I've researched this a little bit. Professionals in this realm, one of them is Dr. Kara Powell, who did a thing called Sticky Faith Teams, or she named it Sticky Social Weba Clusters. they talk about how kids need a community of adults in their life. They say at least five mature adults that will be investing into those kids. And so the question is, where do those relationships happen? And one of the best places for that is in church. And that's why at Element Church, we've always wanted to be a multi-generational church. We are a church of all ages. And whether we are empty nesters that are investing into college students, or whether we are families that are investing into young kids, we all want to come together as a church, and we want to be a village. We want to be a community, and we want to raise up children together. It takes a village, but we have one. It's called Element Church. And so we want to do proximity, time, and intentionality, and we want to do that together as a church. So you guys, those are the three relationships that we need. If we're going to cook today and we're going to grill this afternoon, we're going to need a spark, and we're going to need some fuel, and we're going to need some air, and that's going to give us good food. If we're going to live healthy lives, good lives, we're going to need three relationships: a relationship with God, a relationship with our family, and we're going to need a relationship with a church community. And I want to just, as we close, I want to pray and ask you to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, what's the one thing that He wants to impress on your heart today from the time that we've shared in His Word together? And then number two, what do you need to do this week because of it? And if you're a dad today, I want to pray specifically for you, and I want to pray that God will give you wisdom about what to do with this message in regards to the children that God has entrusted you to. So let me pray over us. So Father, I pray right now for everybody within the sound of my voice. And God, I pray, God, as we come together today and talk about relationships, God, I pray for our relationships with you. God, I pray that we would have, as a church, we would have a fresh revelation of you as a father. You've revealed yourself over 165 times in the New Testament to us as a father. God, you are a creator, and God, you are a master, and God, you're a savior, and God, you're a friend, but God, you're a father. And like Derek Redmond's father, when he was hamstrung, literally hamstrung on the backside of a 400 run, God, you come to us in our pain and in our wounds, and you embrace us, and God, we weep with you, and God, you come up under our shoulder, and you help us to the finish line. And so I pray for that revelation over us today. I pray for that revelation over your sons and daughters today, and I pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, God, that you'd reveal yourself in fresh ways, that we would see your hand at work, that we would hear your voice. And God, I pray that over us. God, I pray that over myself. God, let us be spiritually hungry and thirsty in a fresh season and in a fresh way. And God, I pray secondarily, God, for those that have children, intentional discipleships within the family. God, I pray for all those who mentor others. God, I pray that you would continue to bind and to bond mentoring relationships in the lives of those that are within the sound of my voice right now. God, I pray specifically for fathers, God, who have children that you've entrusted to them. And God, I pray that today that we would be reminded as fathers that our children don't do what we say, they do what we do. And so, God, we can't give away something we don't have. So I pray, God, for, again, as we've prayed, that fresh revelation of you and a growth and relationship with you. But then, God, I pray that your fathers, God, those that you've entrusted children to, God, that they would use time and proximity in an intentional way. And God, that for many of us, we would dispel with the idea of immediate result and success, and we would, God, plant seeds for the long haul. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak whatever specifically you'd like to put on the heart of each father today. I pray you'd speak right now. And God, I pray that you would speak the thing that you want to speak, and then I pray that you would give a practical step that can be done this week because of it, whatever it might be, whatever step it might be with one of our kids. With all of our kids. I just pray that for each father, you would give them that revelation even right now. And God, as we move into a time of worship in a moment, I pray that you'll continue to speak to them. And God, lastly, I pray just for our communal responsibility as a church. God, I pray you would bind us as a church. And God, I pray for Element Church, God, that you would continue to work and do your work God, that you would continue to move, that you continue to speak. God, I'm reminded of the scripture where you say we should pray for laborers to go into the harvest field. So God, I pray for laborers, God, at Element Church to go into the harvest field, to do the work. God, I pray for the finances, God, to fund the work that you have to do here. God, I pray for a tighter bond in relationships. God, I pray for just a relational stickiness. God, that you would bind friendships and you would bind relationships and you would bring mentors and you would bring mentees. And God, that you would let us serve together. And God, that you would draw the people that you want in this church. God, whether that be online here in this space or whether that be physically here in East Lansing. But God, I pray that you would be drawing people from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And God, then I pray that you would be doing what only you can do, changing lives, reviving hearts, doing new work, putting families back together, restoring broken hearts, bringing healing to bodies and minds and souls. God, I pray that over us as a church. And God, I pray that we would all take a responsibility to be in relationship communally. So God, I thank you for that this morning. I thank you for that, God. Continue to show us what our responsibilities are in regards to this message today, and I pray you'd impress it on our hearts. And God, just before we move into a time of worship, I just want to pray with anybody, God, that's never started a relationship with you. If that's you this morning and you're just feeling a stirring on the inside and you need to start a relationship with God today, I want to just pray this with you. You can pray this with me. Just say, God, I acknowledge that you're real. And God, I know that you're a creator, but God, you're also my master. And God, you're also my savior, the one that came to pay for my sin. Jesus, you came to pay for my sin. I believe you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross and that you rose again and that you paid for my sin so that I could be in right relationship with you, God. And you can keep praying this with me. And God, I know that you are a friend and that you want to know me personally and intimately, which, by the way, you already do, God, but my prayer is that each person that's praying this prayer would know you in that intimate way. And then, God, lastly, I pray that you're a father. And so just continue to pray this with me. God, thank you for being my father. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for coming and allowing me to embrace with you, to weep with you. And thank you for holding me up when I'm hurting and helping me get to the finish line. Thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that with us, we want to hear from you. We want to know that you prayed that prayer. If you text Element to 97,000 right on your phone, you can fill out that form. There's a little box on there that says, I made a decision for Jesus. I made a commitment to Jesus today. Would you click that? It says first time or a recommitment. And let us know. I love to pray for you in my own personal prayer time. Get involved in a good Bible-believing church. We like this one. If you need a Bible, let us know in the comment section of that form. We'll get a Bible to you. Whatever we can do to help you or serve you, please let us know. We love you. You made an amazing decision, the best decision you'll ever make in your entire life to walk with the person of Jesus Christ. So, hey, you guys, let's go into a time of worship here together as we close out this time. Again, want to pray for fathers today. Want to pray for Juneteenth today. And want to pray along the lines of this message and just listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit. So let's go into a time of reflection, a time of worship, and a time of listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit. See you guys back here online next week. And want to just remind you, if you are here locally in the area, we will not be in person at Kellogg on July 3rd or July 31st. Love you guys so much. Let's move into a time of worship together this morning.